Hello, hello, hello. This is Tooth Be Toad. This is Dr. Walter Acca.
And you guys know who this is, Leroy Horton.
So it's kind of funny. The episode that aired March 12th, I've been getting so much flack for not being
Oh,
on
geez.
there. Okay. If anybody wants to believe, I listened to the episode and I thought it was a great episode, but everybody's like, "Oh, well, why weren't you on there? What's going on?" I want everybody to
Wait,
know that
which
I'm.
episode was this?
Oh, this was the one with Myra.
Okay, so
Yeah.
yesterday.
Well,
Why are you being all official?
I'm trying to
March
be
12th.
official because I
Right, it
want
was
people to think that we have
yesterday.
lives, okay? This is the problem with you. This is the problem with you. You see, this is the problem with you. So, but we
Wait,
record like
today.
we
It's not even
record,
yesterday. It was
right? We
today.
record, we record weeks, we record weeks in advance, people. Don't let him fool you into thinking
You
that.
could have just said today, the one that dropped
No,
today.
it was today.
But
It was March 12th. But anyway,
if they're watching this ahead of time, March 12th is the
that's it.
episode.
Everybody's going to know that's March 12th. But yeah, let me tell you, everybody. I'm going to tell you this right now, and I'm going to look at the camera. Okay, I have a life. This is fun. This is not my job. This is not at all my job. Okay, Horton has a life. This is not his job. We are doing this for fun. We are doing to help you guys.
Facts. Big
So
facts.
whenever I have things that I have to do in my life and I cannot make it on the episode, I know that there's somebody else that will make it on the episode. Okay? So leave me alone. Just leave me alone.
Were you derelict of duty?
See, you try to put that in there as
That
if
that's what I
I
think.
didn't tell you I couldn't make it. You made it seem like I
It's...
wait basically abandoned your ass. Like, don't do that.
We waited for like 40 minutes. Like, is he going to show
You
up or
did
should we just
not. You knew damn
stay?
right. You said, and I quote, "Yeah, you're good. I'll take it from here." You literally said that. I have the text message to prove that you said that. But then you get on there and act all brand new. All right. Next time I'm gonna be like, you know what? I don't know if we can even depend on Horton anymore. I swear to God he was supposed to be here. I'm so embarrassed, I can't
He
wait,
doesn't.
man.
He doesn't. He never meets the dress code anyway.
Right?
He never
Oh,
does his hair.
you know you don't. Your ass will come in with some scrubs, some Rico Suave hairstyle. Oh, get out of here. But oh man, so I've been busy. I had my brother got married, so I was dealing with that. But it
Congrats
was
to
a
him.
great episode. I actually thought, I got some great feedback. People that weren't not were non-dentists enjoyed it. Just because they had
Yes.
no idea the history of implants. I didn't really, we always take things for granted, I think. The stuff that we know, we somewhat take it for granted. My friend was like, "I didn't even know that only surgeons could place, only oral surgery and perio." Actually, first it was originally just oral surgery could place implants. They had no clue.
Right.
I'm
For
like,
the
"Yeah,
longest
this is
time.
the world that we live in now, where it's a free for all." But there was structure back in the day. Like, you had to go through a lot. Now you just have to go through a weekend and you're good. I wouldn't be surprised if assistants start doing it as a side gig. You know what I mean? But
In the garage, just I mean, they do your
right.
nails, do your veneers, now you get an implant.
That's it. So yeah, no, a lot of people were very, very surprised by that whole history. So I think I actually appreciated that whole history part of it. I thought that was pretty dope, the way Myra kind of broke that down.
Well, she was a great addition in that she, given that she's from the business side of it. And I think a lot of people can identify with whether they work in retail, whether they work in corporate, just the struggle of dealing and managing with people and the industry shifting and putting pressure on you. I think she was pretty honest,
Right.
which I was surprised at some of her honesty because I know that she's still in the industry. And you can have to watch what you say to a degree. I mean, she didn't go too off
I
the
was gonna
rails,
say
but.
she was honest in the sense that she told us what we already kind of thought, right? That there's prejudice, there's favoritism. Like, she kind of basically mentioned everything that we kind of already knew, and that always happens. That's why, people start doing DEIs and all that other stuff. You know what I mean? Like, we already knew that there was favoritism in corporations. It's just that she came through and said, "Yep, guess what? It happens in dentistry too."
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, and what I like about it is it's she's been had a successful career. And I think often if you're not what people would deem successful and you complain, it's, oh, that person is giving excuses.
right.
But I think it really helps from someone that's had success to say, oh, yeah, like I was successful, but not because it doesn't exist, but despite the fact that it exists.
Exactly. So no, yeah, I thought it was dope, but I want to play a game, man. So
okay.
Let me tell you kind of like the genesis of all this and why I want to play this game. Okay. So when I was a dental student, when I started seeing patients, one thing I loved to do was play music in my little cubicle, right? And at school, we had little areas where we went to see patients. It was our clinical area. It was just literally a cubicle. And so we would have our patients and I'd play music. And I loved playing music. I did it when I was a resident. I did it when I was working. I still do it to this day. I love playing music. But I've been accused of playing inappropriate music sometimes.
Oh.
That's it. I've been accused of playing inappropriate music. And I have, you know, a whole playlist on Spotify,
Lord.
on Apple Music. I have a playlist. I call it work playlist. I call
you're
it
not,
work
you're not in
playlist.
there. You're not in there to the windows, to the wall. Why are you
I'm
doing
going to give you
dentistry?
three samples. I'm going to give you three samples. I'm going to give you three samples and you'll tell me if it's inappropriate. Three samples. Okay.
All right.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen because I think that this deserves screen sharing. So, first one. Ready?
Oh, Little
Okay.
Richard?
Come on.
I got to hear this. Let's see. I don't hear any sound. You probably got to share your sound.
Oh, okay. Yep. Perfect. I'm sorry. I apologize for that.
Tutti Frutti?
So imagine doing, crown lengthening and playing Tutti Frutti. Oh, Rudy. Right? Nothing wrong with it.
Are there some hidden lyrics in that I don't know
Nope.
about?
Nope. Okay. So that's one of them. Right. Then here comes my next one.
Oh, okay. I already know this one. This one, 100%. 100%. You ain't got to play it. Oh, Lord. Okay.
So again,
Yes.
What if you're thinking perverted? What if maybe there's a Zoom meeting and he happens to have his computer in his bedroom?
Listen, anytime you got four brothers with their chest out and they call each other Silk, and I'm pretty sure that's you on the right. I won't put money. That was you. You just not copping to it. That was pre-dental school you on the right.
If anybody is looking on the on YouTube, there's an image of three brothers. I mean, they're all, you can clearly tell. They got the deep V. You can clearly tell they put a lot of chapstick on.
My man on the right is biting his lip like he just
right.
ready for it.
Yeah,
He's ready
ready
to
for
pounce.
Something's going down, right? And this is probably one of my favorite songs, right? It's called Silk Meet in My Bedroom for anybody that's interested. But so, these playlists, the problem is when you have Spotify or Apple, like you can put it on where it basically generates similar songs.
Yes.
And this came up in the middle of my surgery. And mind you, I do not put my patients to sleep.
Right.
So then you hear this song start playing and I'm just like uncomfortable, but I can't stop the music.
Well, tell the truth, man. You was in their body rolling.
Oh, bro, I was
doing
enjoying
your crown lengthening. Yeah.
It was uncomfortable. I'll be honest. Meeting in my bedroom came on. It was uncomfortable. And then, okay, so then this is big. This happens recently. I'm talking about this just happened recently, okay?
Okay.
Then this comes on.
Oh, Jesus. Not with, this isn't the one with R. Kelly, is it? Oh, Jesus. Yeah, 100%, bro. That's where you got to be like, hey, Siri. Hey, Alexa. Hey, Google. Whoever the fuck. You got to stop. Stop it. Stop it.
So yes. Okay.
No, but I found these results on search.
Oh, Google's talking to me.
Yes,
sorry,
because
Google.
You were talking to Google. You were asking Google, see? You got to stop talking to these machines. But yeah, so this is what, you know, I've been accused of being inappropriate, or at least my songs being inappropriate, because they come on, right? Like I'll be playing, you know, nice song with Michael or something, and then the next song comes on and it's something like that, and I'm just like,
Yeah,
and then you, I know, and then you start talking louder and louder. Hey, you feeling okay?
I was just about to say that.
You good?
Why don't I turn you? Have you turned this way and open wide? And oh, what were you doing yesterday, assistant? Yeah, how was your weekend?
I mean, I got to the point where my assistant was like, "Doc," and I was like, "Yeah, let's go ahead and pretend the song's not playing." So, yeah, I've been accused. I've been accused of, yeah, you need to go ahead and revamp your. I'm like, I'm telling you, this is not on my original playlist, but yes. It generates stuff. This is why I hate AI right now, because it generates stuff thinking, oh, he's going to like this song because he already liked this other song.
Right. You know? Or it says, all right, well, he's listening to this song in his car.
That's it.
So he likes this song. Let me throw this in there.
Let me play it while he's doing surgery. And it's right. Like an older white lady. And it's awkward, you know.
It is. I mean,
like
it is.
A 65-year-old lady, and I'm just like, meeting in my bedroom, huh? Okay, you know.
No,
okay.
Listen, AI is smart. AI is probably developing a sense of humor and doing this on purpose to people. Like
it's like perfect time.
Perfect music, time.
Got it. Workout, perfect. Let's do it.
You know? I'm still gonna have to ask Jyothi though if that's you singing lead vocals on Meeting in My Bedroom.
I'm not
I gotta
gonna
know.
Lie to you. I kind of wish I was back in the day. That was it. You know that the deep the V was it was so deep that it I think his belly button was showing. That's how deep that V was. It was an incredible DV. And you know, although they were photoshopped to look light skin, you know, they weren't all light skin. You know, you guys
can't. All right, but I gotta go back in time because you gave me when we interviewed the hygienist, Carrie.
Okay.
You gave me a hard time for saying the word hunky dory.
Yeah, that was weird.
Right.
Because you're not 97.
But you're listening to Little Richard.
Okay, well, start off with he's
that's a, like
he's
was that 1940s like World War II?
He's a treasure.
Tutti
he's
Frutti?
A treasure. That's the problem with you. He's an American treasure, so you have respect. Okay, what you say is weird. What you say ages about 30 years. You know, Oakley Dokley, that ages. All right, you say stuff that ages you, okay?
Hey, I say stuff that I can identify. People of different swaths of the population
there
can identify
with. You can
with
lie
me.
To yourself yeah. All you want. You ate your ass whenever you say these ridiculous. Anyway, so I promised everybody that we were actually going to get to some questions and not go off of the cuff with a bunch of stuff. You know what I mean? So I figured let's just go ahead and answer these questions.
Let's go.
I use mouthwash, but wash my mouth with water right after. Does that counteract the effects of the mouthwash?
I'm going to go with yes. Mm-hmm. Whatever chemicals are in there, whether it's fluoride, whether it's any type of anti-plaque agent, if you use an antibacterial mouthwash like chlorhexidine, it has to stay present on the tissues for a certain amount of time, usually anywhere between 20 to 40 minutes to really have its full effect. If you're just rinsing it right off, then you kind of belying the point. I will say, though, if you have an alcohol-based or a mouthwash that does have alcohol in it, mm-hmm. a lot of the oral pathologists are recommending that you do water it down. Not necessarily rinse after, but water it down, because holding alcohol, consistently over long span of years, doing it every day, can increase your chance of developing oral cancer. Mm. So they do recommend at least watering it down or getting a non-alcohol mouthwash, which they have, like Crest Pro Health is alcohol-free. They all have the alcohol-free version.
Right.
So.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that, I 100% agree with you. I honestly. So this is another question that we have to really emphasize is what toothbrush is better, medium or hard?
Oh, wrong or wrong?
That's it.
Right, wrong. But I will be honest with you, bro. I hate a soft one. It just feels like I'm tickling my gums, right? If I have a medium one, I at least feel like it's actually cleaning. With a soft one, I feel like I'm tickling myself.
I need you to never say that again. I need you to never say that you are tickling yourself, your gums, none of it. Don't use the word tickle. Don't ever use the word tickle, because that's weird.
All right. Big pause on that.
Please.
On that. But yeah, I mean, you feel me? Like you have those, especially brands that are like soft, ultra soft.
You don't feel like you're getting a good clean.
You don't feel like it, you know. But we see what the effects are of using a toothbrush with bristles that are too hard or too stiff,
right.
and you can cause recession.
That's it.
And what we call abrasion, where you kind of wear away the enamel. So, but whatever you use, you got to remember, use it with, I guess, gentle pressure, right? All the cleaning action is in the tip of the bristles. If you're pressing so hard on the brush that the bristles are like scraping, then you're not getting any cleaning action, but you are causing damage to your tissues.
Right.
So that's whatever you use, easy pressure.
Right. I mean, and the one reason why we always tell people to get an electric toothbrush is because it eliminates the need for any technique, right? It should or it should be pretty simple. The technique of actually brushing is very complicated. A lot of people don't even know how to do it right. You know, the modified bass technique and all that stuff to try to get into the sulcus or in between your gum and your teeth. So we just say go with the electric toothbrush. Now, the question might be which one, Oral-B or Sonicare. I personally don't care. I tell patients that research shows that they both work. I think Oral-B works just a little bit, but it's one of those research, you know, when dentists do research, when we do research, like millimeters matters, like micrometers matter to us. And that's, you know, scientifically significant, but not to you, general population. So Oral-B, Sonicare, unless they start paying me, I don't care.
And the secret that they don't tell you is that some of these studies, like the ones that say Oral-B is slightly better than Sonicare, they're funded by Oral-B.
That's it.
You know, but do you use an electric toothbrush or a manual?
Oh, I use electric. I use electric, and it's usually whatever rep gave it to me for free. I'll be honest. Yeah. I don't care.
I use a manual, and my wife uses a Oral-B that I got her, a spin brush.
Right.
And it annoys the crap out of me.
Why?
Because it's loud. And especially now that I'm in residency and we're on the phone, you know, we'll be on the phone at night as we're winding down. And she'll start brushing her teeth. And especially if I have like my earbuds on, it's like level 10 decibel because it's reverberating. And I low-key, I haven't said anything. But you know when your spouse does something and it low-key bothers you and you can just feel your blood pressure go up and you're just like... But I think she's realized it, so she'll mute me
while she while brushes. There you go.
Now, why am I sitting here just staring at her brush her teeth while she's on mute? I don't know. I'm just, I guess I love my wife. I don't know. That's, but
you make people very uncomfortable. I thought my music made people uncomfortable. You make people uncomfortable. But yeah, no, I you know, again, if you know how to, the key to everything, guys, is, again, brush. But if you need extra help, if you're any normal person, an electric toothbrush is usually better when it comes to just being able to get more plaque off your teeth. So I would say electric toothbrush. Here's a question, and I'm not sure if we've answered this question before. If we have, forgive us. But what do you do first? Floss, then brush, or brush, then floss?
Oh, good question. If I have to think about it, I typically... brush, then floss.
Brush, then floss. Yep.
I don't know why. There's no strategy behind it. I feel like that's how I was just always taught when I was a kid. And that's just stuck with me.
See, my wife and I have had this discussion where she flosses, then brushes, because she says she loosens up the plaque in her proximal or between your teeth. And then she can then use the brush to kind of get rid of everything.
Okay.
So she's kind of being optimal with her time, I'm guessing. It
right.
feels weird to me to floss then brush.
Right.
And if anybody else does the floss then brush thing, then please let me know. But I definitely do the brush then floss.
You know, I think that would be a great topic for the next great debate, maybe next year. You know, me and you, and we'll talk about it more at the end, but we're having a great debate this year at the NDA convention in Vegas on main stage. I would like to bring you and Jyothi. You guys could just have at it. And we'll make a whole podcast about it.
That would probably end very well. Not at all, actually. It would probably end very, very bad for me. You know? It would end very bad for me. And yeah, no, that's a bad idea.
You can come sleep on the couch. It's all right.
Right. Man. That's exactly right. That's exactly I'm not doing that. you know, when you get, it's like the longer you go into marriage, the more you realize what's stupid and who to ignore. when it comes to stupid comments and questions and stuff like that. And I realized, that's dumb. That's dumb. But yeah, no, I don't know if this is a debate that we talk about this. I'm like, huh. You know, because I never thought about it the other way. Like, why would you floss and brush? Because when you go to the dental office for your cleaning, they brush, then floss.
Right.
So I never thought to do it the other way around at all. And if there's a research out there, if somebody has done the research, and this might actually be a good research for any resident to kind of look into. That would be a quick, lit review summary lit summary to kind of write your little paper on. But yeah, I don't know if that even makes any changes or any sense.
Listen, I honestly, I'll take it a one more level. How many people actually do both?
Oh, true words.
I mean, so that might be a moot debate because majority of people, you might get one if that.
You know? That'd be the shortest research ever. And we got no one. Got it.
Moving no one.
On. Yeah. So that was something that I just thought about. And I was like, oh, yeah, we talk about this a lot. Okay. Let's talk about water picks. One. I want to say we might have talked about this before, but do you like water picks?
Me, typically, no.
No. Okay.
In theory, I see how it should work. Mm-hmm. I have yet to have one person that comes in that says that that's what they use, that their presentation or how much plaque and calculus they have reflects what, in theory, the water pick should be doing. They always look less brushed, less clean than I would have hoped. Right. So I always tell them, no, let's stick to mechanical removing. So toothbrush and floss, or that's toothbrush it. And, you know.
But I honestly believe that water pick is good because at least you're doing something, right? So if people don't like the floss, at least you're doing something. But like you said, I have yet to find somebody that like shouldn't floss.
Right.
It's kind of like it's an adjunct. So now you're doing three things. Like you said, people barely do one, but now you're doing three. So it's kind of like, you know, and there is a big debate because I know a lot of hygienists that will say, oh, water pick. I tell all my patients to get water pick. And then other doctors, including myself, that would be like, it's not that serious. I don't even think it's worth it.
Right.
You know, so they do have that. But I think, you know, the question is basically, this confuses the patients. The question was, what do you guys think about water pick? Because I hear other providers, some people will say, some dentists will say it's great. Other dentists will say it's not. And I'm sure that we need to come to a consensus. Somebody needs to tell us what to say to patients because it's confusing patients a lot. And then there are other offices that will sell water pick like products.
Mm.
Yeah. And so when they're selling water pick like products in their office, of course they're going to say, get that product, right? So you have to kind of be, you know, you got to take it with a grain of salt and say, huh, where is this information coming from? Where is the source of information coming from? So I want you guys to look into that as well.
That, and also think about it this way. If used properly, most of all your dentrifices or your equipment, right? Manual toothbrush, electric toothbrush, water picks, those electric flossers that they have now, they all work good if used the way that they are intended to. The problem is, even with the regular manual toothbrush, most people don't use that right. They don't brush right. They don't brush for the right amount of time. They don't brush at the right angle. So it's hard to say, what do you think about it? Because in my head, it's hard for me to separate kind of that lectureship that's within me. Like, well, if you use it right.
Right.
I mean, let's put it this way. Let's be culturally adept here. Miswax. All right. So in sub-Saharan Africa, in parts of I guess what you would call it, the East India, they use a little branch. And it's used, it's cut in a special way at an angle, and they use it to clean their teeth. That's actually shown to remove plaque just as good, and in some cases better than an actual toothbrush. So I think that goes to support the fact that it's not really what you're using, is are you using it the way it was specifically designed? And most of the stuff on the market, whether it's something like Miswax or whether it's something, you know, like a manual toothbrush or electric toothbrush, will work just fine if you use it right.
Right. Yeah, and you're absolutely correct. I like, you know, one thing that I will say is a lot of patients, I think, complicate this. You know, because after, you know, when I do consultations, the first thing they always want to ask me is, well, you know, what toothbrush would you recommend? What toothpaste would you recommend? What, you know, what kind of floss would you recommend? If somebody gives you a recommendation is because it's what they use most of the time, tell me if I'm wrong. I don't know if any dentists, unless they get paid, again, they get paid or they have it in their office. Most of us just say, just do it. Most of us say, just get. Just brush, just floss. It does not matter. I have yet to find a special toothpaste. I mean, okay, let me rephrase that. The toothpaste that have fluoride, we like that. But then you go to a holistic doctor or some other doctor, they'll be like, oh, fluoride is horrible for you. So use the one without fluoride. And then I'm like, okay, but the research says this. And so again, I get how we can confuse patients. And we really need to work on that. I honestly think the ADA, if anybody's listening, if anybody cares, we need to come out with like some kind of like guidelines just to give to patients to say, based on research, this is what we recommend, and have every single dentist print it out and hand it to patients. Then patients may stop asking us to basically pick what our favorites are.
Well, you know, the thing is they have those. Right, the ADA makes all those type of informational pamphlets.
Okay.
The ADA does do promo spots and, you know,
Where? It's not
dental
on the
education.
Super Bowl. They need to have one in the Super Bowl. 7 million. Drop it.
They need to put a brush your teeth on Usher's chest.
That's it. Sponsor
Right.
him. Sponsor him. Yeah.
But you know what happens is there's a lot of compelling arguments made, not compelling for the data, but compelling as far as the medium that they use. So they make these very dramatic YouTube videos about the danger, or Netflix movies, right? The dangers of root canals, the
Oh,
dangers of
right.
fluoride, the dangers of this and that, and why you should be holistic. And, you know, not that there's not a place for a holistic approach to medicine, but the pendulum swinging to this notion that it's all or nothing, right? Everything causes cancer if it's not, you know, pH balanced water, and like it goes too far. But because it's presented in a very dramatic way
Scary.
or a scary way, or just a first, I got a text today that said, I should bring it up. Someone was asking me, hey, is this true? It was a post that someone had put up talking about how it's crazy how your wisdom teeth are connected to your lungs, your liver, and whatever, but dentists are willy-nilly taking them out. And I was just, and she was like, is this true? And I was like, I mean, my response was a laughing face emoji, but then I was like, oh, wait a minute, she might be seriously
She's
asking.
real, yeah, she's serious, yeah.
Yeah. And
So
so
she probably
I just
had her
basically
wisdom teeth
said,
taken. Yeah.
yeah, they're connected in the same way. If we line up 1,000 people and tell them all to hold hands in a row, someone is connected to someone that's connected to someone that's connected to someone from the first of the 1,000. That doesn't mean losing the first person is going to kill the further the last person. You know, I know how else to explain it because you get too deep into it. You know, well, you know, technically, you know, through your fascial connections and your gap junctions, and you know, then we all get lost. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I still do think the ADA needs to make it simple and maybe send it out to like every patient or I don't know. Something to just like hit them up with brochures and be like, this is what, here are the basic questions and here are the answers to what
Right.
toothbrush to take. I'm sure that there's some kind of lobby that wouldn't permit the ADA from doing that, Crest or, you know, Colgate or one of those companies would be like, no, we're not doing that. You need to select one of us, you know. So it is what it is. I digress. Okay, ready? My dentist said I should get cleaning 4 times a year, but my insurance only covers once. Why does my dentist insist on 4 times a year?
You know, you read
Is
my
it about the
mind.
money? Is it about the money?
Oh, okay. That's where they're taking it. You know,
Is it
you read
about
my mind because as we were going from toothbrushes and home care, I was going to ask a follow-up question to you about how frequently people should get their cleanings. But that is a great, great question. There's a spectrum. There's people that say if you're perfectly healthy, you only need once a year. The data would say that for most healthy people, every 6 months kind of maintains that health.
Okay, so before you continue with that, I want you to be honest and give us the history, if you know, of why we started doing 6 months. Because it was a big big push by a company to basically get people to come in more often. Right? And you know, was it it was a toothpaste company, wasn't it? Or was it a
See,
mouthwash?
I don't know that history. I can give you the history. Well,
The
we'll get to
genesis
the
of
3 to 4 months, but
right. I want to say that it was basically like hey, you should go in every 6 months or you will get halitosis, which ended up also not being a real word. You know, and it
Wait, that's
just
not a
kind
real
of
word?
nope. Apparently halitosis was created by Listerine. Yeah. Listerine created
Really?
halitosis. Yep. They created
That
halitosis,
is
and
crazy.
Listerine used to be they used to use make house cleaning products in the 50s. And then they
I do
realized that they
remember
could
that.
use it with mouthwash and so forth. And then they said, oh, halitosis. And then they made it sound like scientific. And that's not really that wasn't really a word. That had nothing to do with bad breath, but they kind of created that. So yeah. So the whole idea of like getting cleaning twice a year, or whatever, was just kind of brought into the whole US thought process or whatever, just to make insurance and doctors kind of agree on something. But I don't know if there's any, do you know of any research that says it has to be 6 months? Because I feel like everybody's so different that some people just have their plaque levels is not, you know, high enough that they need cleaning every 6 months.
Well, the thing is, if your plaque levels are low because you're doing excellent home
Right.
care,
Yeah.
then whether it's 6 months or a year is not going to make a difference. The amount of people that have that low level of plaque is probably around, I think the best you could probably get someone to, as far as if you were to count every surface on your tooth and give a percentage of how much has plaque.
Right.
What's been considered ideal or the best possible attainable in studies is around 15 to 20%. So that means you're good at keeping 80% of the surfaces of your teeth free of plaque. And only a very small percentage of people maintain that level of home care. Everyone else, if we think about the four, to get specific to that question, 4 times a year, right? So we know that by most definitions, 50% of adults have gum disease. Okay. And the older you get, the more that number increases. And they did studies back in the day out of Michigan and a couple other schools that took patients that had gum disease and they treated them. And then they monitored them for 7 or 8 years. And some people were getting cleanings every month, every 2 months, every 3 months. And what they found was that. And every 6 months. And what they found was that if people with a history of gum disease waited 6 months between their cleanings, they saw a repeat of their breakdown and the gum disease kind of resurged and came back. They found the sweet spot was about 3 months, and that if you got any more frequently than 3 months, which is 4 times a year, there wasn't any added benefit. So that's where 4 times a year for someone with gum disease has become the standard of care. In the dental field, because of those early, what we call longitudinal studies or long-term studies, where they put people in each bracket and saw that 3 months, 4 times a year seemed to be the ideal one for someone with gum disease.
I couldn't have said it better. That was really beautifully. Honestly, that was beautifully
It's
said.
what I do, bro.
No, no,
It's
no,
what
no.
I
That's not what
do.
you do. That's not at
Yeah,
all. No,
it's kind of what I do.
this is the first time I've been impressed. This is the first time I've been impressed, man. No, that was so well said. You gave the history, you kind of broke it down. And yeah, that was very well said. Yeah.
I'll take my flowers.
That, no, real talk. Like I will not say anything. That was beautifully said. That's exactly right. All right. Let me see here. Let me go down because we have a lot. And if I keep going down, we'll get bored. Let me see. Oh, okay. So this is kind of a business question. Does a great dentist make a great business? Can you have a great business with an average or below average dentist, it looks like. So are dentists great business people? I guess is what this question is asking. Are dentists great business people?
Well, I tell you what, let me answer after you because I feel like you've seen multiple owners and working in different practices. What do you see? Is it the dentist that makes the business or the business that makes the dentist?
It's the business that makes the dentist.
Okay.
Because, you know, let me say this, and I'm going to say this in this way. Ready? There are dentists that literally have their own brand. People will go to them specifically for that person. Mm. Okay. And I think I've said this in the past. That's not a business. That's you.
Right.
Okay. And yes, you make money off of it. So technically it is a business, but most dentists, I'll say 90% of dentists, they depend on getting patients from insurance. And those people will literally leave you when you don't accept their insurance and go somewhere else. And I truly believe that the reason why we have such a low failure rate for dental business is because we are subsidized. And I use that word on purpose. We are subsidized by insurance. The same entity that we hate are literally keeping us afloat.
Right.
Because in all honesty, you don't have to advertise. Just take a lot of insurance. You'll do just fine. Now, will you excel and be in the top tier of dentistry and dental professions and make, you know, buco bucks? No. But you'll be fine enough to keep your business running. You'll be fine enough to have a comfortable life. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Right, yeah.
Right? And then I know a lot of other dentists who have mastered the Medicaid gambit, we'll call it, where they basically just compound. I mean, that's all they see. That's their office, is a Medicaid office. And most people will say Medicaid, they don't pay that well, but they have mastered the game of Medicaid. And they do very well.
Right.
Bread and butter do very well. So I personally believe that the business of dentistry makes the dentist. I mean, you know what I mean? The business makes the dentist. I don't think it's the dentist that makes the business, because we are subsidized by so many things that I don't think, you know, that business of dentistry, you can't fail. That's why hedge funds are coming into dentistry.
Like crazy.
Because they know the success rate. They're not going into restaurants, because the failure rate at restaurants is like 90-something%.
Right.
The failure rates at dentistry is like what, 1 or 2, maybe 3%?
That's a tough one, man. I agree with you on almost everything.
Okay.
I feel like if we look at the question and say, does a good business make a dentist good?
Okay.
I feel it makes them good in the sense if they're maintaining an income.
Right. Okay.
But there are a lot of dentists with shoddy work that make a great income for a long time. Because in our industry, right, whether you do good work, failures can happen way down the road.
No matter what, yeah.
And if you do shoddy work, it may not be noticed until years down the road.
Okay.
Right? And that's not a judgment call, because I've had failures, you know, as a practitioner. We all have. But I do feel like there's... My motto when I was owning a business was, I'm just going to not focus on the business aspect as far as squeezing every dollar out of every transaction.
Okay.
I'm going to try to be the best dentist I can be.
Okay.
Do right by my patients as much as, you know, that's reasonable.
Right.
And with that, the money will come and the business will be good.
Yeah.
But there does come a point where when you start seeing challenges like COVID, which kind of squeezed everybody, you can't rely just on that. You do have to have some business acumen to navigate turbulence in the business world.
Of course.
But I think that's a great philosophical question on whether or not do you have to be a good dentist, or do you have to be a good businessman or woman to be successful in dentistry?
Right. And here's another argument for why I don't think dentists need to necessarily be good business people. And don't get me wrong, I can guarantee you that somebody's going to come at me. So at me, send an email at realdentist@gmail.com. I'm going to say that right now, because I'm going to tell you something. The reason why I don't believe that most dentists need to be good business people is, if you look at what a good business is, right? If we look at the Forbes 500, or if we look at S&P 500, we see good business. Starbucks, we see McDonald's, we see Apple, we see all of them. You know one thing that they do that we don't do? They know where every single dollar goes. They know what they can account for loss. They know what this costs. They know what this costs. They know how much they actually need for this. And I bet you McDonald's knows how many pickles they need to put on there to profit, to maximize their profitability.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? I bet you they do. Now ask a dentist how much their toothbrush that they purchased from this company cost, or how much they need to basically maximize profitability. Ask them what their P&Ls are. Ask them what, you know, what their ROI is going to be on this X-ray machine or this X-ray.
Right.
They don't know.
Right.
And our software is doesn't connect. Dental software never connected. It doesn't connect with what you use to purchase stuff and what you use to do your business. They never talk to each other.
Right.
I feel like we might be the only industry where nothing talks to each other. We have to go to like 10 different computers to get information.
Right.
Tell me if I'm wrong.
No, you know, you're absolutely right. Who was it? Howard Ferrand actually had an interesting post today.
Oh, okay.
Talk. I don't know if you saw it, where he was talking about the business of dentistry. And he was saying how there's the McDonald's model where in the old days you could only own one location because they wanted each individual owner to be fully vested and the quality of service would be better, the success would be more. But then they went to this, you know, larger franchise growth model. Whereas Chick-fil-A still has that one, you know, single owner, single location practice. And I'll be honest with you. You go to Chick-fil-A, regardless, obviously there's a food quality difference. The people there, the way you're treated at Chick-fil-A, the way you're greeted versus a Burger King or a Taco Bell or a McDonald's. So that... Insane. Now that we're talking about corporate industry,
this is just from our own personal experience. We're not I'm sure people have great experiences at all those places. But yeah, I see where you're going.
Right. But you can see the way where you take that metaphor and plant it on dentistry, and you see these corporations that own 400 or 500 practices nationwide. Everything is centralized, and there's a disconnect from that personal relationship of the on-site local owner and his or her population. And so I fear, and you can tell me what you think, that the dental business is going downhill as far as the quality of our product and experience. You know, what do you think about that?
We've been saying this for the past... When did the podcast start? We've been saying this since the podcast began.
You
know, I mean, we sound like haters, but we've been saying this since the podcast began. Why? Because we have the I'm going to call it the pleasure of going to multiple practices and seeing different types of practices, right? And I can see that after a while. So this is how it always looks like to me, right? Excitement. Then after a few years, that provider or that owner is beaten down. Beaten down by multiple issues, right? If they're in a corporation, they're beaten down because of lack of support or lack of autonomy, lack of options, right? So then they get to the point where it's just like, let me just come in here from just to make my money and go home.
Right.
And then you have the other end where you own your own practice, and then they get beaten down by what? Insurance. They get beaten down by, you know what I mean, patients being mad at them. And then, the assistants are fighting with each other. So everybody gets beaten down by the end. And they just get to the point where they're like, this is not fun anymore.
Right.
You know, and then, like you said, they went from, look, Mrs. Smith, hey, high five, da, 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 to Mrs. Smith.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you're right. After a while, that I don't know what model would do best, but... The intention initially is there.
Right.
Then it goes down.
Or they're like, all right, Miss Swift, real quick, tell me what you want because I got 10 patients waiting for me. Okay, you got a toothache? Okay, take an X-ray. We'll take it out. Blah, blah, blah. You know, I honestly feel like if we were to be able to create an industry where they paid us more and we could see a healthy volume of patients, we would be happier and patient experiences would be happier. Because I know whenever I go anywhere, when someone doesn't seem rushed and they seem like they have the time to care, not that we have to have a long protracted conversation, but you can tell when someone is just like, all right, man, spit it out. Like, hurry up. Like, I got business to do.
I gotta go.
And then how does that translate to the procedure you're getting done? Is this person rushing?
Right.
You know, I don't want my surgeon rushing.
Right.
You know?
Well, but then the question would be, what's a healthy amount of patients? What's a substantial amount of income? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like if I said to you, you know, hey, you'll be guaranteed 150, right? No dental school debt at all.
Right.
Would people be happy? If you look at the overall of the U.S., that's very, very good money.
Right.
But I can guarantee you, you're going to have somebody go, I gave up 8 years of my life and I deserve this. And and that's my impression of a dentist complaining like always. So, yeah, do you see what I'm saying? Like, it's always going to be, I want more. And I think that's just human nature. So I don't know.
Yeah, there's a great book called The Fourth Turning that talks about how things happen in four generation cycles. And one of the things that he talks about is this transition from the generation that felt trauma, whether it was World War II and the Depression, you know, World War I and the Depression era, or, you know, and so they like rules. They, you know, so our generation might say, hey, you know what, $500,000 to $1 million school debt is ridiculous. Yes, give me zero school debt and 150 grand a year and I'm good, right? The next generation who didn't have to feel the pain and the angst that we did, they're just going to see that as a repressive restriction. And so they're going to be fighting all of a sudden for, you know, we don't want this government control and blah, 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 because they want the freedom to be able to.
That's it.
And so I feel like something like that, we would be able to appreciate, you know, from our generation, but the following generation would just go back to what it is today, because they would see it as an issue of freedom, not an issue of pragmatism.
Very true. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's end with something you and I have been actually talking. This is not a question, but you brought up a very interesting discussion a while back about what we consider to be charitable, right? And what charity actually really looks like from that book that you read.
Right.
You know, and I want you to kind of give a quick summary of that, and then we'll talk about our great debate. But I wanted to, I want you to talk about what you thought about when you read, because for me, I'm always like, oh man, I got to give back and I got to do mission work and stuff. And you're like, well, did you think about the mission work you're doing and what overall you're giving to the people there?
Yes. And so for anyone that hasn't read the book, it's called Toxic Charity. Let me see if I can remember who the author is.
I got it. The book right here.
Oh, you bought it. Sweet.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
You know it. I read it.
Who's the author of that again?
This was by Robert
Lupton. Yes. Lupton. Yes. So it made a very compelling point when it comes to charity. Now, just to be clear, the author does say that in cases of emergency, you know, if there's a hurricane, an earthquake, natural disaster, war, famine, absolutely charity is needed for emergency situations. But what happens is you get a lot of the organizations, whether it's churches, whether it's 501c3s, that develop these charitable programs where they go and they do outreach. You know, in our industry, we go and we do mission trip dentistry. But it ends up being a form of self-gratification, right? A photo op, a way of bolstering our within our own community.
Right.
And he says that there's five stages to dependency. And I think, you know, we don't have to actually come to a conclusion today, but I think it's very important for us to think about. So he says, if you give once, you elicit appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
If you give twice, you create anticipation.
Mm-hmm.
If you give three times, you create an expectation.
Mm-hmm.
You give four times, it becomes an entitlement.
Mm.
You give five times and you establish dependency. And where that's deep is, especially in that book, because he provides case descriptions, right? Case reports of areas where charity has been in place for a long time, but there's no measurable benefit to that local community. But then he juxtaposes that with other places where instead of us going and building a well, they give micro loans to locals to invest in building the well themselves. And those are the wells that end up being taken care of, you know, for years afterwards because the community is invested. So I think that's something for us to think about. Because, yeah, it's great to do a mission trip. It motivates us. It gets us thinking outside the scope of the Americas. But we do have to be careful of how much we rely on that as opposed to empowering that community. And that's why me and you have talked about with Dr. Uvo Onorobi about doing some work in the western part of Africa, not just doing mission trips, but teaching local dentists advanced skills to enrich the skill set and the resources of those communities. And I think that's worth something maybe next year after we've done our trip to really do a deep dive episode on.
And we'll have videos and pictures and stuff like that. But yeah, so I just thought that was actually interesting, kind of a good way to wrap up this episode. But you know, I know you want to talk about the ass whooping you're about to take in July. You know, if you want to talk about it, by all means.
Shots fired.
I don't know why you keep bringing up this debacle. We're going to call a great debate, but on your end, you know, because I showed you my research paper. I'm gathering information. Now I got to try to put it in a way where I can basically just debunk everything that you say about implants. And this I'm actually kind of anxious because you get the sexy topic and I get the not so sexy crown lengthening, right? But I'm finding different avenues to basically debunk your sexy topic.
Listen, to quote one of my heroes, hey man, why you keep calling me Cassius? Okay, why you keep calling me Clay? I told you my name is Muhammad Ali. Okay?
I don't even know why.
Whether you say it now or you say it flat on your back.
I have no clue.
I want the people to know this is going to be a heavyweight title match between two of the greats. All right? The pretty boy, long-haired. Long-haired pretty boy from the north.
That's it.
Against the bald-headed chocolate brother from the south.
There it is. I won't say Rumble in the Jungle, but you know.
No, but tell people. So we, you know, we've officially signed the contracts.
Yeah, we're good with that part. You know, and I will say, like, the point of this is, and I hope that this is a beginning of more discussions like this, because there's so many things in dentistry that we can go one way or another.
Right.
And I think what you, I mean, and I'll give all the flowers. You proposed this. You said, hey, I think this would be fun to do. You go one way, I go another way, and let the audience make the decision on which way they would go. So I think from what you told me, we're going to take a poll without saying anything, right? We're going to have a very neutral person to kind of just coordinate everything, and they're gonna take a poll, and then hopefully one of us will convince them to go one way or another. They might they may not change their mind at all.
Right.
That's fine. But I'm hoping that they change their mind to go some other way.
Right. Yeah. You know, and that's the point of it. It's win-win for everybody, because everybody learns. Because there's no necessarily right or wrong in this. It's who can make a compelling argument. And within that, we're both going to be presenting the data, the research, the cases.
That's it.
So this is Friday,
Friday,
July 26th, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. I believe
Caesar's Palace. This sounds like
a heavyweight fight. It really does. It's in Vegas.
At Caesar's Palace in the great state or great city of Las Vegas.
That's it.
But it's with the National Dental Association, which was the association. This iteration was formed in the 1930s for dentists of color, specifically African-American dentists who were not allowed in other doors. So we created our own door to walk through. But they do an annual convention every year, and me and Walt here, we're going to put on What I'm hoping is the first of many series, yes, whether it's us or other people, yes, where we get back to this notion of intellectual exploration, okay, and debate,
yeah,
which everybody comes out stronger, wiser, smarter from.
That's it.
And I am so excited for that's this it to happen.
Yeah, and you know, like you said, the key isn't, like you said, if I win, cool. If I lose, not cool, but whatever. But the key is the key is, you know, you come out and your mindset changes from what you always did. Hopefully you start thinking about what you can do, right? Right. Oh, I always took out this tooth. But now after listening to Dr. Akko or listening to Dr. Horton, okay, you know what? I might not take this tooth out. I might think of doing this alternative, right? You know, we could, there's so many different ways we could go. I even thought about just one right now. You can go with restoration versus connective tissue grafts. Which one? A class right. 5 connective tissue. You know, you can do so many implants versus a bridge. You can do right. so many ways. And I really do hope that this is just the beginning where, absolutely, you know, next year there'll be another heavyweight battle. And then next year we'll have, you know, we'll just keep going with this for as long as we possibly right. can. So I think
right.
this should
be. But I do think we need to put something on the line. So I'm going to propose some stakes, a bet, or stakes is a very appropriate word. Because I was going to say loser has to pay for tomahawks that night.
That's fair.
So Vegas is full of some great steakhouses.
That's fair.
So whoever loses, tomahawks are on them for the night.
Okay, well, so then we have to kind of make it fair, right? So right. the vote is, let's just say that the audience votes. And they voted, you know, 80% this way. If the other person can draw more towards this way, is that the winner?
Yeah. It's who moves the needle more.
Okay.
So from wherever they start, if right. more people switch to your side than switch to my side.
That makes sense.
That's how we win.
That makes sense. All right, let's do that. That'd be fun. Let's do that.
All right.
Hey, okay. Everybody, as always, thank you so much for listening to Tooth Be Told. I hope we didn't ramble on too much. I hope we gave you some information. I'm actually proud of us because we actually got through more questions this time.
We did. We got like 4.
Yeah.
Right?
I want to say 5. We go through one.
It's a record.
Yeah. For an hour, we've done more than we usually do. We usually go through like 2 and then we're like, man, how? You know, I mean, this is excellent. So we hope that we answered your questions. We appreciate everybody that listens, as always. And leave me alone, people. I promise you I have a life. And no one has a life. This is for fun. So leave us alone. Okay? Get a life. No. We definitely always we appreciate everybody listening. Honestly, you really, really do. And if you can, go ahead on, if you're listening on Apple, rate us. Give us that 5 stars so that Apple thinks that we're important. If you're on YouTube, come and rate us. Give us some feedback. We always like comments. You know, wherever you're listening from it, honestly, we thank you so much for even caring enough to waste a little bit of your time in the day to listen to us. So
yes. And my self-esteem depends on it. So give me a like. So I don't,
so
I don't cry tonight.
Look at him. Look at him. Look how ridiculous it looks. Everybody look. Oh, God. Oh, God. All right, we're done. All right. We just lost a few viewers. Everybody's going to listen instead of watch now. All right. Thank you, everybody. Good night.
All right. Take it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Tooth Be Told. The opinions on this episode are just that, our opinions. Please consult your dental professional before taking any action with your dental health. If you have any questions about anything you heard on this episode, please contact us at Real Dentist with an S. That's R-E-A-L. Dentist with an S at gmail.com. We would be very happy to return any message that we receive because we love the communication that we have with our listeners.